God is good. His word lasts forever. Amen. I want you to open up to Malachi chapter 4. Oh, you thought it was Psalm 119, didn't you? Got you, Jeff. Praise the Lord. What are we going to do today? Let's open your Bible to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Kind of right before Matthew, all right? And we're going to look at the last few verses of that scripture, all right? And I'm going to open up to Luke as well. Praise the Lord. I didn't write that one down, but we're going to talk about it. Father, we just thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for joining us by your Spirit in our hearts. We thank you for this day. We lift up all the fathers today. We thank you, Lord God, for the fathers who are now grandfathers. We thank you for the fathers who are brand new fathers. And Father, we ask you to bless them today. We ask you to move upon their hearts today and give them joy, give them peace, give them rest. For those who have finished raising children, Father, give them peace that they're forgiven. Comfort that as they have raised their children in the best knowledge of the Word of God in their own hearts, that you will complete that, that you will complete that work as our children have reached adulthood and they're growing older, that we have raised our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and that you will see to it that that Word of God does not go forth void, but it accomplishes that for which you have sent it. Father, we thank you for those who are brand new fathers, that you are teaching them and leading them through your Word, through the love of the Spirit of God, to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That when they, to train them up in the ways of God, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Father, we thank you that we cannot make these things happen, but we can follow your command. And we can declare these things over our children. We can bless our children, both in word and deed. Father, I thank you for blessing these fathers today, for causing them to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have all confidence that they are bringing to pass your promises through faith alone. It's not because of the things that we do, but because of the faith that you have given us as a gift. Though we follow your word, you move according to faith. So, Father, today we thank you that you are causing our children to walk in the ways of God, even as we give them over to you, whether young or old. We pray for them. We thank you for moving in their hearts. We thank you for them as they come into adulthood, as they raise families, as they raise their own children, as they follow you. Father, we pray for them. We thank you for our kids. We can't raise them any further than once they reach adulthood, but Father, we can pray for them. And we thank you that you hear our voice. Even as grandparents, we thank you for our grandkids because we lift them up. We pray for them. We're not in charge of them, but we pray for them. And thank you for raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, we trust you. We can't trust ourselves, but we trust you. So, Father, we give you glory and praise and thanks for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Over in Malachi chapter 4, the prophet Malachi says these words at the end of the chapter. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. When we read it there in the, then in the gospel, when Zechariah is told by the angel at his time in the temple, when Zechariah as a priest, his time was in the temple to minister before the Lord, he was confronted by an angel who said, your prayer is answered. And he's an old guy by this time. He says, your prayer is answered. And of course, I can imagine Zechariah saying, what prayer? He had long ago prayed, your wife shall have a son in her old age. And he was, oh, that prayer. How shall these things be? So it's like, you're kidding, right? Who are you? And where are you from? Who sent you? Because Zechariah didn't, he no longer believed in that prayer. He had prayed for a son, prayed for a child. He no longer believed in that prayer. He basically just kind of said, well, I guess that wasn't going to happen. But God will meet your needs. God will answer prayer. I don't know how, in particular, He's going to answer your prayer. He won't leave you helpless. He's not going to leave you without hope. Amen? Amen. He's going to give you a blessing. Amen. So Zechariah hears the word of the Lord, and he says, how shall these things be? He said, well, it's kind of like, what's the proof? Well, you're going to be dumb. You can't talk until the baby is born. How's that? So he's probably nervous that he's never going to talk again. But all of a sudden he gets home, and I guess he acted in faith some kind of way, because all of a sudden, they were already old folks, and in 9 months, they had a baby. So apparently at least he had some amount of faith, because he went home and all of a sudden they had a baby, amazingly enough. And I don't think it was like Mary's baby, so I think this was a natural birth for Zechariah and Elizabeth. But when the angel spoke to him there in the temple, he told him part of this scripture from Malachi. And he said, this guy is going to come as the voice of Elijah. And he's going to call the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the fathers to the children. And what is that? He's going to bring the fathers and the children together. Now, how does that happen? How are fathers and children brought together? I'll talk about that a little bit today. We want to look, first of all, I'll look at Genesis for a minute. Genesis chapter 4. We read the various stories in the Scripture, and we have the Scripture that commands us as we prayed that we should raise up our children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they shouldn't depart from it. But sometimes it seems like even the folks in the Bible, whether or not it's recorded or not, something was imparted to these children. And it doesn't always work out in the way that we had planned for it. Anybody ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand. Things just didn't work out quite the way you had intended. And so here we are in Genesis chapter 4. And the scripture says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Whoa, surprise. I don't know if God told them that was going to happen or not. Maybe they just thought it was just them. But all of a sudden, you got a person. You have a new person in your family. Isn't that crazy? What if you had never expected that? Like a bun in the oven. What was that? And then all of a sudden, whoa, there's a baby. What's this? I've gotten a man from the Lord. You ever thought about that? He said, be fruitful and multiply, but how do you do that? How in the world do you do that? Maybe you thought you picked them off trees. I don't know. So she says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, okay, we have two different young men, but they knew one thing. We know that they knew one thing is to bring an offering to the Lord. So we know there was a passing of knowledge and information from who? From the parents, that you would bring an offering to the Lord. We don't know how much information that that the Lord declared to, or that Adam, you know, gave to his children. But we know that at least he said, bring an offering to the Lord. We remember when Eve came in front of the serpent, that she said to the serpent, when asked about this wonderful tree, she said, "For the Lord said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it." Well, if you go back a little bit, you find out that really the Lord didn't say, "Thou shalt not touch it." I think Adam just kind of added that, just to kind of emphasize it in his own way. Is that, "Honey, don't eat it. Don't even touch it." He might have said, "Don't even get near it. He might have put a fence up around the tree," and then she climbed over the fence and wanted to get to the fruit. So, but interestingly enough, how we'll do that, right? You know, you want to kind of add to it and make sure the emphasis is put on the right thing, and so you don't want to make sure that somebody doesn't do wrong. Don't do wrong. And so you want to add to it and make sure that doesn't happen. And so we know that, therefore, Adam must have talked to his sons and told them what to bring, right? He must have told them what one thing to bring, to bring a sacrifice to the Lord, all right? So here we are, but we don't hear anything of Adam talking to his sons at all. We don't hear him instructing them, blessing them. Like, for instance, later on, we'll look at Jacob or Israel and how he blessed his sons, all right? So what I'm talking to you about today is imparting the Word of God and the love of God and the worship of God to your kids. Amen? And we can't always see the specifics of that, but we see it here and there in the Scripture. All right? Now look here in verse 6. Now, if you look at verse 5, "But unto Cain and his offering the Lord had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain." Whoa, okay. So the Lord was now talking to Cain as an adult man. The Lord came, and so Cain knew the voice of the Lord. But yet he was, now apparently his offering was not given, maybe it was given as an act of obedience, but not an act of faith. Perhaps it was done, there were specifics that were given by dad that he didn't meet. Oh, this will be good enough. So he'll just take of the, instead of going and selling fruit and selling his first fruits of his of the garden and buying a lamb or buying an animal to sacrifice, he just figured, okay, we'll just make it nice and pretty, make a nice fruit basket and, you know, give that to God, and that should be good enough. So he's bringing that, and whatever the reason is that God rejects it, but God is coming to him, and he's saying, now, sin is crouching at the door. Be careful. Don't let it have you. Don't let sin get hold of you, and anger get a hold of you, and bitterness get a hold of you. That's what the sin is crouching at the door, is anger, bitterness, and rejection. All right? So that's what he's sharing with him. And then, of course, we find that God has now talked to him. And then next thing we read is that after God talked to him, then he goes out and kills his brother. So God's already spoken to him. He already knows that there is a problem brewing, yet he doesn't deal with it. He chooses not to deal with it. In fact, he figures the way to deal with it is get rid of the problem, and the problem is his brother, so he goes and knocks his brother off. All right? So what I'm saying to you is this, is that we teach our kids the things to do, and sometimes they don't do right. Anybody ever seen that? It's kind of like sometimes it's like, a lot. And so what we do is we love our kids. You don't hear anymore about Adam and Eve talking to their kids. Adam doesn't come up and say, "No, son, you shouldn't have done that." You know, you don't hear that. You don't hear that. Later on, Adam and Eve have a son to replace, ostensibly to replace Abel, when Seth. But you don't hear anything more about him talking, you know, as if he's going to tell Abel that he done wrong and not to do that. But he puts he puts Cain in God's hands. Amen? And I want you to know that once you're an adult dad or mom, you put your kids in God's hands. Right? You can't run their life. You can't run them. You can't do for them. Right? So I want you to know. So that's what I'm talking about earlier, is to let your kids go. Amen? To love your kids wherever they are. Love them. Bless them. Thank God for them. You could also be blaming yourself. You could also be angry at the things that you did or did not do, or the things you perceived you did or did not do. How many know the enemy can do that, can make heyday out of that? Right? Amen. So the enemy can come and say, "Oh, well, here's what you didn't do," or "Here's what you did wrong, and so here you should feel guilty about that, and you should be under a burden about that." No, that's not what God says. God never says that. God says, repent, get forgiveness, and move on and worship me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So let your kids go and let yourself go. Nothing shall separate us. I said this earlier. Romans 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. I mean, no, it's like no thing. No thing. No sin. No, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Now, if God wants it modified, He can work in you and get that done. Amen? Everybody say amen. That's right. God's good at that. He knows exactly how to speak. He knew how to speak to Cain. Did Cain listen to it? No, he went out and killed Abel. But God was speaking to him. God was speaking to him. I want you to know that God speaks. God is constantly speaking to you. He's speaking to your heart. He's loving you. God is not mad at you. He is loving you. He comes and finds you. Amen? Amen. Isn't that great? I mean, He just wants to come and find you. He is not mad at the worst sinner. He is, in fact, desirous that every person who, and everybody sins, right? Everybody, every. That includes me. It's not like it didn't until I said that. No, he loves me. Like the song says, Jesus loves even me. Amen? So you're rejoicing today. Amen. Okay, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let me just finish up Malachi by saying that when John, the son of Zechariah, John the Baptist, came to minister, and what God was talking about, that Jesus said He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He came in the spirit of Elijah, spirit and power of Elijah, to draw the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, to draw them together. To draw them together how? To draw them together in the Lord. Amen? So that fathers would teach their children, and children would honor their parents and love their parents. And that causes a community of faith. Amen? God wants a community of faith in families. Janet and I we renewed our vows in Israel this last week and for 40 years. And so we were blessed by dear friends of ours participating in that. And I got a certificate. You can see it, you know, if you want. It was like a legit. We did it at the Cana, you know, where they made the wedding wine. No, if you're curious, I didn't have wedding wine, if that bothers you. But I didn't, so it's okay. I could have, but I didn't. And but we did that. But Paul Freeman, our pastor friend who was leading our tour, talked about the first government. See, family was the first government. And that's what the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy wants to destroy family. Family is the first government. There wasn't a king in the Garden of Eden, right? There wasn't a king there. Who was it? Dad, mom, kids. That's the first government that there is. Really, that's the only government. Once you get a society going, you have a bunch of, you know, a bunch of folks coming together because they want to bless their families, right? I mean, that's the only reason you have people to come together to, for government, is to bless families. That's it. That's the only reason. Because God wants to reach you as individual, and He wants to bring individuals, as He brings them into the family, He raises them up to have more families. So family is the government. That's the government that, that God designed, that God created. All right? And so He wants fathers to be drawn, have their hearts drawn to the children, children to the fathers, so that we perpetuate the faith of God. So we perpetuate the faith of our fathers. Amen? I am the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God's desire is for us not to be, yeah, I'm involved in, you know, state politics, but the goal and the result of anything that I do has to do with the local family. That we may, like we pray in the prayer, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. So the idea is that your family live a quiet and peaceable life, and you just declare the gospel to your neighbors, to those people that you come in contact with individually. It's great if you have big ministries all over the world and wonderful, but who do you reach? You reach dads and kids and moms. That's who you reach. When we go to Uganda, that's who we reach. Is we reach moms and dads and kids. We preach about marriage. How you can have a marriage that's that works, right? That you know, you're not hating each other, but you're caring for each other. You're loving each other, and you're declaring the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus. So that's what it is to have the hearts of the fathers drawn to the children, and the children to the fathers, is so that we are one family in God, one family in Christ Jesus. Then to further talk about this, looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shall talk of them when you sittest in thy house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and thou shalt bind them for signs upon thine hand, and that they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. So they would write them down on little pieces of paper and strap them to their heads. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. You ever seen a mezuzah? Saw a bunch of those in Israel. They make a little scroll and put it right on the door. You know, and you touch that when you come in and out to acknowledge the word of the Lord is the word of this house. So you write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledst not, and wells digged which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when thou have eaten and thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you from off the earth. God wants us to teach our kids. Be diligent to teach their kids when you're rising up, when you're going and sitting down. Amen. Your grandkids. When you're rising up, when you're laying down, when you come in, when you go out, you're demonstrating the word of the Lord. You're demonstrating the word of God. Amen. That's who you are. That's your life. Your life is a demonstration. It's not just a practice that you do. You can make a practice, but a practice will become habit. Amen. Your habits, your practice will become habit. And you begin to do these things as you go. as you and you, your kids see you, your kids hear you, your wife hears you, your neighbors hear you, and see you. You know, that you get up every Sunday morning. Where are they going? Why are they going at this hour on Sunday morning? So you're declaring to everybody, the word of the Lord. You're declaring to everybody what the word of God is. Amen? That's who you are as a father. That's who you are as a father. Not only as a command, but it's who you are as a believer in the Lord Jesus. These are the people who hear the word of the Lord and they follow. And they know what God is saying. And they speak the word of the Lord. That's you. Amen? That's who you are. Ian, that's who you are. You have a son now. Boom, there he is. You didn't wait 9 months. You just, I think you waited about six. Might have been about nine, I don't know. But you adopted a young man. And he's not a baby. He's a big baby. He's 10 years old. So, you didn't have a head start, like Pastor Jim talked about when his oldest daughter was born. He said, well, I guess I got about 2 years before she figures it out that I'm not really any good, that I'm a dirty rat, and you got 2 years to fix me, right? And you had to instantly be fixed. I mean, that guy's showing up. The day he shows up, he's going to be able to figure you out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Telling you what, you're on the fast track. But God is doing a mighty work. Amen? Right. And you can't trust Him. I mean, you can't trust yourself. You can only trust God. Amen. Cassie can't trust you. She's got to trust God. Amen? It's powerful. And God's going to, I trust Him. He's going to work in me. Even though all my kids are raised. even Esther, she's 21. She's lost to me. I can't do anything more. So we're just trusting Him today. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is doing a mighty work in you. What I want you to hear today is, as a father, today you stand and walk as a man of God. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've done it, no matter if you think you did right, if you think you did wrong, give yourself to the Lord. And say, Father, even if your kids are totally grown, say, Father, I thank you for my kids. I thank you that just like even Cain, who God spoke to, and Cain messed up again. Yet later on, somehow or another, Cain still got blessed. He built a city and named it after his son Enoch. God put a mark on him so that nobody would kill him. So Cain did the awfulest thing. And yet, God still had mercy on him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, did he make it to heaven? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Did he ever repent? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell you. I mean, you can read further on, and you can see a few times where the name of Cain is brought into Scripture, and he had a few people left of him, but I think they were finally disappeared. But we don't know, and we can't count that. We can't check that. All right? There's some things that you don't know, some things you won't know. But here's one thing you do know, is that God loves you. And as a father, listen, as a father, I want you to receive forgiveness today. Because some fathers just felt like they messed it up really bad. And maybe there's evidence to prove that, and somebody could actually prove it. But God wants you to know that He loves you and that you should receive forgiveness today. And you should receive, He wants you to forgive, receive the forgiveness that He offers. Amen? Some of you, you're not dads yet, but you're going to be a dad, or maybe you figure, it'll never happen for me because of one thing or another. I want you to just say that God has a plan for me. He's preparing me. And I want God's best. I want God to do what His plan is for me. Just receive His promise today. Maybe you're looking at yourself and you're thinking, well, you know what? I've already messed it up. I haven't had a wife or kids, and I'm already messed up. No. God is all for you. He is all for you. Through Jesus Christ, you were born for purpose. God knew you. He said, the scripture says that God knew you in the womb. Before I formed you, I formed you. He said, I formed you. He didn't like, you weren't like just an accident. You know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So I want you to just receive that. He formed you. So you have purpose. You have purpose to be in the body you're in. And God is working mightily in you because He loves you. Guys, girls, everybody. All right? You are set in place by God because He loved you, because He had purpose for you. I lost both of my... I had two fathers. I had the privilege of having two fathers. Unlike Jim, who had three. I just had two. But I lost both of my fathers within the last... certainly within the last year and a half. All within 1 year. One in December 2017, the other one in October last year. One father I didn't know very well for a long time because of alcoholism, but he was restored to us. He was restored to us at 44. He got free from alcohol and had a life, and had a blessed life, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful to see that. And then a few years later, we reconnected, and he finally came to live with us for the last 5 years because he needed some help. So he was blind; he couldn't see, and everybody, all his friends, and his wife had passed away. Not my mom, but his wife had passed away, and so he needed somebody to basically kind of take care of him. We brought him back to Texas, and he built a house onto the back of ours, and we just had a blessed time knowing each other. And in the meantime, God had provided me a second father, who is a man who loved Jesus, man who loved God, and he filled in admirably in the interim. And to lose them both in 1 year was a surprise. But I loved both of them. And I'm grateful for both of them. And one of them was not so good. And I had to reach out to him. Because he also felt the same way. He felt like he was no good. But we reached out to him. You can reach out to your dad. Maybe your dad's thinking he's no good. You could reach out to him. And you could love him. That was my opportunity. And so we did that, and it was a blessing. It was a great blessing to him. It was a great blessing to us. Same thing with my stepdad. My mom died about 9 days beforehand, and that was a surprise because she was full of vim and vigor, and no reason she should have died, but she did. And then my stepdad, four days after the funeral, just laid down in the chair and just went to be with the Lord. Because I guess he decided his job was over. So, just sharing those things, just, I don't know why I'm sharing those things. Just my testimony is that God gave me a gift. One gift was questionable, and one gift was evident. And we're so thankful. But I just want everybody to have that opportunity to examine your relationship with your dad and move according to the gospel. Love him. Reach out to him if he's still alive. Just tell him, Dad, I love you, no matter what he's done. Forgive him if you have to. If you have to forgive your dad because he's been a bozo, you know, or really bad, just reach out to him because you're filled with the gospel. You're filled with the love of God. You're filled with the power of the living God on the inside of you. Amen? The living God has forgiven you all your sin. And His desire is to then live in and through you, forgiving everybody else. Jesus on the cross said what? Father, this is the guys who had just nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them. He didn't have to wait 6 months to forgive them. He actually did it before he died. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I can say the same thing. Father, forgive my dad for being a drunk while he had young kids. What was he thinking? We're going to raise ourselves? What was he thinking? Father, forgive him. He didn't know what he was doing. I don't know why. He was raised in the good old Lutheran church. I don't know why. I mean, the Lutherans are pretty tough. You may not think so, but they are. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God loves you, and God loves your dad. He loves your mom too. So my heart to you today is clean it up in your heart. Just release them right now. No matter what they've done, release them right now. Just love them, bless them. So that the hearts of the fathers are drawn to the children, and the hearts of the children are drawn to the fathers. So that the end of that verse is, lest I smite the earth with a curse. What that means is a curse is coming if this reconciliation doesn't happen. A curse is already on its way. Destruction is on its way to families if we don't forgive. Amen? So let them go, no matter what the thing is. Maybe it's a little thing. Maybe it's this really bugged me my whole life, you know. Let that go. Let that go, you know. And just rejoice and give praise to God for your family. Maybe you're a mess because of your family. Rejoice. Give thanks to God for your messiness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See if there's one more scripture here that, of course, in Ephesians, he says, commands us to teach your children, honor your father and mother, and train them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's, pardon me, Proverbs 22, verse 6. What other scripture that comes is just Genesis chapter 28. I'll read a little bit out of that and then we'll be done. The blessing of Jacob, or of Israel to Jacob. And Isaac called Jacob. Hey, Jacob. Okay, that's good. Your boy. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, unbelievers. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take a wife there from the daughters of Laban, my mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham, give the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Bless your children. Bless your children. Amen. I mean, speak a blessing over them. A lot of times we tell our children what to do, but we don't speak a blessing over them. I can't remember that I did that. And Luke's sitting right here, he could probably tell you. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Did I bless you? Yeah. Well, I mean, did I like say those kind of words?
I don't know.
I don't know either. there you go. But I'm commanding you now, pastorally. And I'll do that. You know, Luke, I bless you. That you'd receive all the blessing of God, all the goodness of God, all the promises of God that come to me through Abraham, through faith in Abraham, I bless you. That you would receive the fullness of the blessing of God.
Amen.
Do that for your kids. Bless them. Bless them. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you today for this word that you want us to bless our children. That we'd raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That you said, great is the will be the peace of your children. So Father, we just bless them right now. I just bless this family of God right now in Jesus' name. I bless them and command them to bless their sons and their daughters, their children, as fathers who have received the word of the Lord and the blessing of God. So we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure and so kind. You shine like the morning star, Jesus. What a wonder you are, Jesus. Name of above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. If you need prayer today, we just invite you to come on down, you know, as we close, and just come on down and I'll invite our elders and deacons to come down, and we'll be down here and just ready to pray for any need that you may have or anything you want to pray about. We just invite you to know the Lord, to know Jesus Christ. I think I know most everybody here. But if there's somebody here who just does not know Jesus Christ, you want to meet him today, just come on down and we'll pray together. That you just receive him in your heart. Father, I just receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that he forgave all of my sins and I repent of them. And thank you that he's going to work in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and see power in your life. See your sins wash off. You maybe you're overwhelmed by one sin or another that just seems to be a problem. The Holy Spirit is redeeming you. He's sanctifying you and changing you. Amen? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not your work. Well, come on. Muscle up and get it done. No. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Yeah.
All of y'all know me really well.
You can sit down for a second.
I